first reading on the fifth Sunday after the Epiphany is from Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord, high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphim, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. "Woe to me," I cried, "I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" And I said, "Here am I, send me." This is the word of the Lord. The second reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 12b through 20. "Since you are eager for gifts of the Spirit, try to excel in those that build up the church. For this reason, the one who speaks in a tongue should pray that they may interpret what they say. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. So what shall I do? I will pray with my spirit, but I will also pray with my understanding. I will sing with my spirit, but I will also sing with my understanding. Otherwise, when you are praising God in the Spirit, how can someone else, who is now put in the position of an inquirer, say, 'Amen,' to your thanksgiving, since they do not know what you are saying? You are giving thanks well enough, but no one else is edified. I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you, but in the church I would rather speak five intelligible words to instruct others than 10,000 words in a tongue. Brothers and sisters, stop thinking like children. In regard to evil, be infants, but in your thinking, be adults." This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. One day, as Jesus was standing by the Lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Well, I greet you once again in the ever-present name of Jesus Christ this morning. What does it mean to be in the presence of God? You know, in our lesson today, we find two men who unexpectedly realized that they were in the presence of God. And so this morning, as we go along here, I want us to think about what their reaction was, but I also want us to think about what our reaction would be if we were in their place. Because to me, these are two sides of God's presence. How does he make his presence known to us, and what's our reaction to it? Now, when mankind was first created, you know, in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve, as we can tell from reading Scripture, were perfectly at ease with God, right? I mean, he took on a form, and he walked with them, and he talked with them, and, you know, they listened to him, and they were perfectly comfortable with that. Think of this. Do you think the form that God took on then was Jesus Christ? Could have been. Something to think about. But whatever form it was, they were comfortable with him. And they talked with him, and they walked with him, and they were comfortable being with him, being in his presence. It was only after the fall, after the serpent had tricked them into disobeying God, that they became ashamed, and they became frightened, and they became fearful of him, and they hid from God. They probably experienced something like Isaiah and Simon Peter experienced in our lessons today. Because of that first sin, all humanity would continue to have those feelings of fear and, you know, dread in the presence of Almighty God. God is a magnificent, a perfect, a glorious being, right? He is the essence of love. And should God approach us with all of his splendor, with all of his glory, we also would be overwhelmed. We also would be fearful and uncertain. In fact, if he were to show us his true magnificence, we couldn't handle it. We would be blown away by his glory. Unlike human presence. You know, I was thinking about this past week. And like human presence is like if you took a picture of somebody and you put it on a copy machine and you made a copy of it. And then you took that copy and you made a copy of that copy. And you kept doing that over and over again. After a while, the picture would be less clear. The picture would be less sharp, right? Now, if you copied that again and again and over many, many, many times, eventually that picture would be kind of washed out. It would be kind of dull. It would pick up the flaws and the scratches and the smudges from the transfer process, right? Well, imagine doing that billions and billions of times. That, to me, is similar to the state of our human presence. Kind of washed out. We're kind of dull because of the compounding of sin. But God's presence is as sharp, is as clear, and as glorious as it's ever been. It seems to me that when a human being comes in the presence of the one who created everything, including ourselves, that it's very, very, very overwhelming. And we may experience a number of things when we're in God's presence. First, we're confronted with how, let's just say, less significant we are, at least in our own eyes. We recognize how powerful he is and how helpless we are. That's why I chose the picture that I chose for our graphic and for our bulletin this morning. You see that little man down there at the base of this gigantic waterfall, all of these tons of water falling down. Have you ever had a chance to go to the base of a waterfall like that? Maybe Niagara Falls or some other falls, and you just see the magnificence of this. See the massive cascade of water coming down there. It reminded me of what the psalmist said in Psalm 114. He said, "Tremble, earth, at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the God of Jacob, who turned the rock into a pool, the hard rock into springs of water." Kind of makes you feel puny, doesn't it? All you can do is marvel at the fantastic sight that you're seeing, the power and the majesty and the beauty of that. And that's what I imagine that people who are standing in front of Almighty God would experience. Of course, this waterfall is just His creation. It's not the Creator, right? You can imagine how much more magnificent it would be to stand in front of Almighty God. Now, the second thing you probably would experience by standing before the Creator of everything, if you're wise, is that you'll also experience how far short you've fallen from what He wants you to do in your life, what He expects of you. In other words, how much sin you've accumulated because you're now in the presence of someone who is perfect. You're in the presence of the one who was without any sin whatsoever. Now, God knew after the fall that human beings would experience that feeling in front of Him. And so God comes to us in other forms, not His complete majesty. As I said, we would be blown away if He did. And so God chooses to approach us in a way that makes it easier for us to see Him and to be in His presence. That's what we read about in our lessons for today from the two men, Isaiah and Simon Peter. In Old Testament times, it seems like when we read Scripture that God approached people in the form of dreams, or in the form of visions, or in the form of objects like the burning bush and so forth. In our first lesson today from Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah was having a vision of God. He was also having a vision, a little bit, a snippet maybe, from what heaven might be like. Our text tells us, "I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of His robe filled the temple. Above Him were seraphim, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of His glory.' At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke." Certainly a powerful and overwhelming sight to behold, right, and to feel. And what was Isaiah's reaction when he realized that he was in the presence of Almighty God? "Woe to me," I cried. "I'm ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Isaiah was reminded of how his, you know, reminded about his sin and how God would be the judge of him. And if things didn't change, there could be only one outcome. And it wouldn't be good for Isaiah. Now, if you switch to our gospel lesson from Luke 5, God came to earth in a different form. This time, He came as an ordinary human being. He didn't come as this big, powerful, you know, overwhelming presence that Isaiah witnessed. But He came as an ordinary, everyday human being, a baby born in a manger, grown up to be a man who lived among the people there, a man who began preaching in the areas around his hometown. And the people that he was ministering to were beginning, getting used to him, getting used to his preaching and his teaching, and quite frankly, getting used to him being the Son of God. Now, some believed that he was. Some didn't believe that he was. But I think at this point in time, most people had not been confronted with the realization that he was God. And I think that was the status of Simon Peter at the point of our lesson today. You know, the day that Jesus got onto Peter's boat, and, you know, Peter knew that Jesus was a great preacher. He knew that Jesus was a great teacher, but he wasn't awed to be in Jesus' presence yet. But when Jesus created the miracle of the massive fish catch that Peter witnessed, you know, coming out of water that Peter formerly thought was barren of any fish at all, he realized that he was in the presence of Almighty God. And what was Peter's reaction? When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." And so you see what the reaction was of these two men who came into the presence of the God Almighty. They realized that they were sinful humans and they were in the presence of the great God of the universe, the ultimate judge of everybody. And they were humbled and they were frightened. And they wanted to get away from this powerful force. You can see that both of their reactions did absolutely nothing to alleviate their situation, did it? They could do nothing to eliminate the sin that had caused them to have this reaction in front of the perfect one. They needed someone else to do something to eliminate this fear and this dread that they had in the presence of Almighty God. Of course, that someone was God himself. And so what was God's reaction? What did God do for these two men when they were humbled in front of him? Well, with Isaiah, God had an angel, a seraphim, take a coal from the altar and ceremoniously take it to Isaiah and touch his lips in effort to burn off, as a metaphor, the sin from Isaiah's lips. The hot coal represented the purifying influence of the Holy Spirit through God's grace. He did that to take away Isaiah's guilt and to atone for Isaiah's sins. In that way, Isaiah would then be freed up to begin the work that God wanted him to do. You might say that God was in the process of gathering and recruiting people for his work at that time. And then if you go to our gospel lesson today, what did Jesus do when Peter fell at his knees? Jesus said, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people." You see, Jesus was continuing the process to recruit and to call his disciples. He wanted to reassure Peter because he had work for Peter to do. You see, God is a God of compassion. He's a God of love. He's a God of reassurance for us. He had promised that he would be merciful and provide the means of grace so that man's sins, yours and my sins, would not be held against us. In the garden, right after the fall of Adam and Eve, you know, when they brought sin into the world, God gave them, and he gives all of us, the reassurance, the promise of grace to come into this world. The assurance that he would come to earth in a form that was comfortable for human beings. The form would be a descendant of Adam and Eve themselves. And that manifestation of God would take away the sins of all humanity forever. Of course, we know the manifestation of God was in the form of Jesus Christ himself, who was standing in front of Peter. We know that Jesus went on to be the final sacrifice for mankind's sins, for those that receive faith to believe that Jesus is God, the one that Peter finally recognized. And so I have to ask you, what is your reaction to the presence of Almighty God, the ruler of the universe? Now, you might be saying to yourself, well, I'll let you know when I see him. Do you really think you haven't seen him? Do you really think that he's not here with us? I'm here to tell you, he is here, right now, right here. He's here with us in the form of his Holy Spirit that lives in us, his Holy Spirit that is all around us. He is here in the presence of Jesus' body and blood right here in Holy Communion. You know, we Lutherans call Holy Communion, we say it's the real presence. What that means is that we believe that Jesus is really here in his body, in his blood. We can't explain it, but we know that Jesus said that that was true and we believe it. Sometimes we just don't realize we have his presence here with us. Or sometimes we just have blinders on so that we can't see it. But I want all of us, to see and feel the presence of God in our worship service today and every day because he is here. I mean, we should be awed and we should feel grateful in the presence of Almighty God in our worship services because he shows us our sin and then he takes away our sin. He forgives us as we come to Holy Communion, as we receive his body and his blood. We should feel like we do at the base of a giant waterfall like that. We should be feeling the power. We should be feeling the majesty. We should be looking at the beauty that is God. Because what an awesome blessing it is that the Creator of everything would love us, would care for us so much that he would do all of this for us. I mean, do you see that God planned all of this for us so that we would have the way to escape this sin-filled world that we live in so that we could be with him in all eternity? Shouldn't that make us grateful for the love that he gives us like that? You know, we talk about God's presence. The word presence comes from a Hebrew word. That Hebrew word means face. Face. One day, all of us will be standing before God and we will see his face. Maybe the face of Jesus. It may be in some other form or some other way that God has for us to see him. I don't know. But I do believe that when we do see him, we will know that he is the triune God, that he is the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And so what is our reaction going to be when we see God face to face? Will we want to get away from him like Peter and Isaiah wanted to do the first time initially? Or will we want to embrace him as a well-loved member of his family? Will we want to fall to our knees in gratitude that our faith has finally been realized because we are there with him? Folks, the presence of God is meant to reassure us, just like his promise that he would send his mercy and his grace to us. I hope that we can all see his presence today in our worship of him. I hope that we can all see his presence in the works that he does for our lives. I pray that all of us will be looking for his presence in our lives. If we believe that he meticulously planned to give us this reassurance of his grace, then we can be confident that we will see his face and we will experience exceeding joy. Because of Jesus' presence in this world, we no longer have to fear. We no longer have to feel insignificant before Almighty God. We no longer have to feel that we have to hide our face or flee from His presence. We know that we are loved, and you know what? We are not insignificant to God. As the writer of Hebrews said in chapter 4, let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. You know what? We all can have the assurance that we are not alone, that God will come to us, just like to that man there standing at the foot of that magnificent waterfall. And can't you just see God coming and putting His arm around him, and they just looking at this magnificent creation of God together? You know what? That's the experience I want. How about you? Amen.